Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Moses, this is what I created you for. And it was at 80 years old in the wilderness, after 40 years in the wilderness, mind you, that God, through a moment of special revelation, revealed to Moses his heart, his will, his plan, and Moses received his purpose for living in the wilderness.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, Truth Seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
God bless you, Truth Seekers, and welcome to Truth Infusion. Welcome into the broadcast studios of Truth Infusion Ministries, and this is our radio ministry, this particular aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, one of my favorite parts of what we do. We stay pretty busy. God has blessed us with the opportunity to minister in front of a lot of different people, a lot of different churches, different events, and that type of thing, but I really have a special place in my heart for the radio ministry. And it is the one aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries that God uses, not just locally, not just regionally, but we've got information through our website and various different things like that. What God does with the radio program goes around the world. And in fact, not too long ago, I got a letter from a listener of our radio program in Ukraine, and Miroslav. It's his name, if I say that correctly, and if you're listening, you guys over there, we thank you for the email that you sent and the encouragement that you sent, and we pray that God is blessing you guys in a very real and powerful way in Ukraine. I want to start today with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into what is the fifth part or the fifth week of a sermon series or a teaching series, rather, on the concepts of the wilderness experience. Every person, every child of God, I believe, and I hope I've given you multiple examples and reasons why you ought to understand that every child of God deals with wilderness experiences, times that God Himself has determined that we will spend in the wilderness. And what we started last week was we began looking at different reasons why there is value in the wilderness time that we spend, specifically the times in the struggle, in the trial, in the wilderness when God Himself has determined that we should spend our time there. And there are times where He picks us up from where we are, sometimes right off the mountaintop, and drops us right in the middle of a barren, lonely, deserted wilderness. And there are reasons why He does it. And we've spent several weeks talking about it. But last week, we spent time looking at one of three reasons I want to give you why there is such value in these wilderness times. They're not easy times. They're not times that are exciting, that are fun, that we should ask God for. Lord, give me some more wilderness. Lord, put me alone. Get me by myself. Lord, make me struggle a little bit. You know, we're not going to ask for that. But when God determines in His will and His wisdom that it's exactly what we need, then we have multiple scriptures that point to the fact that we can look at it with joy in our hearts, knowing that the outcome of the wilderness experience is far more valuable than the struggle we experience while we are there in the wilderness. And last week we talked about one of the great values of the wilderness is that it is a place of transition and change, and we must be transitioned from where we are now to where God wants us to be, and we must be changed from what we are now to something that looks more like Christ, because God has a determined reason that He wants to use us in His great plan and His great scheme of things. God has a desire for our lives, and He can't use us for that thing down the road that will affect and touch many people if we don't look and operate and aren't useful as the tool that it's going to take to accomplish that thing down the road with those people. So He's got to change us to become the type of servant it's going to take. And so transition and change are a valuable asset that comes through wilderness experience. And after we pray today, I want to go into what I think is another valuable thing that we receive in the wilderness, and that is revelation. The wilderness is a place of revelation. We're going to talk about that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You and You alone have the ability, Lord, to take these next few moments to empower it, to send it out all over this world, Lord, and to bless the listeners with exactly what they need for their life, exactly where they are at this very moment, Lord. You're the only one that can do that. So, Lord, I ask that You would take over this microphone, take over this equipment, take over my mind and my heart, and let Your Word shine brightly, God, that it might go out and accomplish exactly what You would have it accomplish. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The wilderness is a place of revelation. Now, when I say revelation, I don't want to assume that everyone that's listening has a real understanding about what that term means. I'm not talking about the last book of the Bible. We're talking about a theological concept that I want to explain to you with some, I want to break it down for the next few minutes, because when I talk about the value of revelation in the wilderness, I want you to understand exactly what I mean. If I were to give a general definition to what revelation is, revelation, this is my definition, is the process of God making Himself known to people, perhaps to a large group of people, perhaps to an individual person. But revelation in general, general definition, is the process of God making Himself known to people. You have to understand this very important point. All knowledge of God comes by revelation. All knowledge of God comes by revelation. In other words, there is nothing that we learn or understand or come to know about God that does not come from God Himself. Revelation is God making Himself known, and you cannot know God unless He reveals something about His character, His person, or His will, His desire to you or to a group of people. In other words, let me say it this way. By God alone can God be known. There is nothing about the finite mind of man that is able to grasp even the smallest portion of understanding of the infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God that is Creator God. There is nothing that about us as a human being, as a part of His creation, that is capable of understanding or discovering something out about God on our own ability, in our own efforts. We can't do that. He's too far above us. The Word tells us that His ways are not our ways, that His thoughts are not our thoughts. And specifically what that is saying is we don't think on the same type of level. We don't have understanding on the same type of level. And I would go ahead and say this. If God does not reveal something about Himself to a man or to a group of people, there is no way we could come to know anything about Him, for He is too far bigger, greater, and too far above and beyond us that our small minds can comprehend. So God must make Himself known to us. And let's take this a step further. The creation needs to know the Creator. The creation needs to know the Creator. We can't understand who we are, what we are about, how we work, how we function, if the one that created us does not reveal who He is, so that through His understanding and His mindset and His knowledge of what we are and what we're about, we come to understand ourselves. We won't understand ourselves if we don't come to understand our Creator. We can't understand what we're here for, what our purpose is, what meaning there truly is in our existence, if the one that created us doesn't give us understanding about what our existence is all about. And only God can do it. We have to have a connection to Him. The creation needs to know the Creator. And the next part of this, which is fantastic to say, is that the Creator wants the creation to know Him. God wants us to understand about Him. He wants us to have knowledge about Him. Now, let's just admit it. The smartest among us can still only know and understand that which God has revealed. We need revelation to understand God, and God desires to reveal Himself to us. And if we look down through time, we have an understanding that there are two general forms that revelation comes to mankind. In other words, there are two general categories of revelation. So let me go through this very quickly, and then I want to begin to tie this into the value that we receive in the wilderness through revelation. The first large category of revelation is what we theologically call general revelation. General revelation. Now, general revelation is when God reveals Himself to all people at all times and in all places. This is a generalized unveiling of who God is to all people at all times, in all places. It's not a picking and choosing revelation. It is one that everyone has access to. General revelations, it proves to mankind that God exists, that He is the intelligent, powerful, transcendent Creator. And there are generally two ways that we have understanding that God has made Himself known in general revelation to all people at all times in all places. The first way that God does this is He has declared that He is God through His creation. In fact, the book of Psalms tells us that creation declares the glory of God. And Paul lets us know at the beginning of his great work in the book of Romans that through creation, God has made Himself known. You can't look around at the intricate details of creation, how it fits together, how it works at its smallest building blocks into its fantastic intricacies. You can't look at creation and not know. There has to be a fantastic Creator, a great and powerful intellectual mind who was able to not only think about creation on the level that we have around us, but put it into being. I could talk about it for multiple shows. In fact, if you want more information about the proof that God is through general knowledge and specifically through things like creation, go back and look up in the archives of the Truth Infusion radio program and find the Q&A show that is entitled, Is There a God? Go back and look, truthinfusion.com, check out the radio page, scroll through our archived radio shows, and look for the one titled, Is There a God? And I'm going to give you 30 minutes of information on that. But it's one of the ways that God has revealed Himself through general revelation. The second form of general revelation comes in the form of our inborn conscience. Some call it conscience, some call it the moral law. But here's the basic truth. Within the heart of mankind, we have a born knowledge of right and wrong. We know when we've done something right, and we know when we've done something wrong. You don't have to tell a person who is in his right mind when they are looking at a circumstance in life and whether or not that circumstance is a good thing or a bad thing. We have a law that is written on our hearts that shows us if something is right and wrong. And since there is a moral law written on the hearts of mankind, there must be a moral lawgiver, some transcendent being that placed that within us, because you can look at it across generations and across cultures and across language barriers, and right and wrong is within the heart of man from the beginning. Again, go back to the beginnings of the book of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 2, and you're going to see Paul lay it out in an amazing form that God has revealed himself to mankind through creation and through conscience. And because this is true, man has no excuse to say, I didn't know there was a God. I didn't know I should be serving him. The truth is, God has made himself known, and the revelation of God to all people at all times in all places through creation, through moral conscience, is called general revelation. But now I want to talk about the second category of revelation, and that is called special revelation. There's general revelation, then there's special revelation. This is a form of revelation of God to an individual by very special and unique means. Now listen to this, for a very special and unique purpose. While all people have access to the general revelation that there is a God that exists and he is intelligent and powerful and transcendent above us all, only a select few receive the special revelation, because the unique individual is given special revelation when God gives him understanding of himself for a special and unique purpose. We know through the Word in the book of Hebrews that in these days God has revealed himself primarily through his Son, Jesus Christ. The most amazing and fantastic form of revelation that God has ever gifted mankind with was the person of Jesus Christ. The book of Colossians says that he is the Godhead in bodily form. All the height and the width and the breadth of the Godhead formed down into the mankind in the place of Jesus Christ. He is God's greatest and most fantastic and most utilized form of special revelation. Jesus Christ is the great special revelation of God to mankind. God will also give us special revelation through his Holy Scripture. But that, again, is the story of Jesus Christ. So one and the other almost go hand in hand and are synonymous. But for special and unique purposes of God revealing himself to the individual, it's going to come most of the time and primarily through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Scripture. And I want you to see this. Now let's get back to our teaching on wilderness experiences and the value of the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of special revelation. When God deems it is time to put one of his children through a moment of struggle and trial, it is very often that at some point within a wilderness experience, a very awesome moment of special revelation will come from the heart of God himself to that struggling child in the moment of that wilderness time. God wants to reveal something very special and unique about himself to that child, and he often will do it in the wilderness. And we see this in Scripture in many cases. And I want to talk about one specific example of that, and that is Moses. Moses spent 40 years of his life in the wilderness before he came to the burning bush experience. 40 years Moses spent in the wilderness herding his father-in-law's sheep. Moses spent 40 years. Now he comes out of Egypt. He's fleeing for his life now, a criminal on the run. A fugitive from Egypt. He has committed murder at the hands of Moses. An Egyptian soldier was killed because he was abusing one of the Hebrews. Moses knows that he's in trouble. He takes off. He hits the road. And for 40 years, he's in the wilderness herding sheep. And for 40 years, God is getting him ready for a wilderness experience where special revelation is going to take place. And here it comes in the book of Exodus. In the third chapter, Moses is doing his job in the wilderness one day. He looks off to one side, and there is a bush that is on fire. It is burning, but the Bible says it is not being consumed. And you know the story. I'm not going to recount the whole story. But God meets with Moses at the burning bush, reveals, in fact, Moses here is 80 years old. And this is the point in Moses' life at 80 years old when God finally reveals to him what the purpose of his life is all about. It was in the wilderness. It was in a moment of special revelation where God begins to reveal His very heart and His will and His plan that Moses finds out why in the world he's even on this earth to begin with. As God reveals to him, Moses, you are my man. And Moses, you are going to go back to Egypt and you are going to confront the most powerful human on the face of the earth. And you are going to tell that man, Pharaoh, that God has said, let my people go. And Moses, you're going to struggle with Pharaoh a little bit, but ultimately he's going to let them go. And you are going to lead my people, millions of them in fact. Moses, this is what I created you for. You are my man. And it was at 80 years old in the wilderness, after 40 years in the wilderness, mind you, that God, through a moment of special revelation, revealed to Moses his heart, his will, his plan, and Moses received his purpose for living in the wilderness. Some of you are struggling in the wilderness, and some of the questions you have had about your life up until this point are about to be answered in divine ways that you don't even realize are coming. God reveals oftentimes the great reason He has placed us on this earth, the reason we are breathing the air that He has created. God many times has chosen through wilderness experience to reveal to us the purpose for our very lives. Don't forsake and turn away from God in the wilderness. It is a place of revelation. If Moses would have run from the burning bush, not only would Moses' life have looked eternally different, but think about the children of Israel. Think about God's eternal plan. You see, God had determined that 40 years in the wilderness for Moses would end up in the exodus of His people from Egypt, as the purpose for Moses' existence was beginning to be walked out. He'll reveal your purpose in the wilderness. He'll also reveal details about His character to us in the wilderness. You know, we often get a lot closer to God in the wilderness and see things about God in the wilderness that we never could have seen on the mountaintop, that we never could have seen when life was just hunky-dory. You want to hear something that's sometimes uncomfortable to hear? A lot of times, we don't seek God the way we should when times are good in Happy Valley, the way we seek Him in the dry desert in the wilderness. But you get down in the wilderness and you really find yourself in need, you start looking for God in a desperate way. And God will reveal things to you about Himself in the wilderness, not because He waits for the wilderness to tell us, but sometimes it's because we don't really look for Him until we get there. But think about the children of Israel and the revelation of God's character that they received through the years they spent in the wilderness. I mean, at the Red Sea, He lets them know, I am the Creator and I am greater than your enemies. As a cloud by day, He lets them know, I am the God of glory, the Shekinah glory. As a fire by night, He lets them know, I am the light in the darkness. Through the quail and the manna, God lets them know, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provision. Water springs from a rock in the wilderness, and He lets them know, I am the living water, and I will quench your thirst. At Mount Sinai, God lets them in on the fact that I am the lawgiver. I am the judge. I am the jury. And I recall through a bronze serpent held aloft on a pole that God revealed to the children of Israel, I am the healer of your sickness and your disease. They would not have understood these amazing points about the person of God if they never would have got down in the wilderness and got a little desperate and looked for Him in a special and unique way. And God reveals Himself in special ways in the wilderness. And somebody may be asking, why does he have to wait for wilderness? Why does He place us into moments like wilderness? Why do we have to get down into the hard parts of life before God will speak to us with special revelation? And I guess my first thought and response to that question, it's a good question. My first thought and response to that question would be this. He waits for wilderness, or He allows for wilderness, because in the wilderness we get desperate to hear from God. Sometimes we have to get desperate before we will wait to hear from God. You know, I tell young ministers, that the ones that are just coming into ministry, one of the hardest places to minister as far as to see the effect of the power of the Word, one of the most difficult places to preach a sermon is in the church house. Because it's in the church house that you have a lot of Christians that think they've got it figured out, that they're on top of the game, that they're on the ball, and they are not desperate anymore. But you go to minister in a place like a prison or a jailhouse or to the homeless, ministry becomes very easy. You know why? Because in those places, in places of desperation, people are seeking to hear something from God. And God has a big tendency to show up in great ways where He is desired and sought after, and where people are desperate from Him. So here's my question for you and for me today, truth seeker. When's the last time you heard from God? When's the last time you received a moment of special revelation? God's not trying to hide Himself. If it's been a while since you've heard from God in a special way, perhaps the problem is not that God's not talking to you. Perhaps you're not desperate enough to listen to Him. Don't be surprised if you soon find yourself in a moment of wilderness, because God desires for His kids to hear His voice, and He'll bring us to those places if that's what it takes to get us desperate to hear from Him again. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you're already in the wilderness. Maybe you're struggling through some stuff right now, and here's my encouragement for you. If you're in the wilderness, maybe you need to pray a prayer that goes something like this: Heavenly Father, what are You wanting to reveal to me in this wilderness, Lord? What are You wanting me to hear You speak to my heart? I'm ready. I'm desperate. I'm listening. I need to hear Your voice. I want to tell you something, truth seeker. If you'll be honest with that prayer, God is just waiting for a desperate cry for Him to respond to. He is in the wilderness with you, and He's wanting to reveal something special to you about Himself. So don't you be afraid to lend your ear, to cry out, and to listen. God bless you, truth seeker. Till next time, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.